If you traveled away from Arizona over the holidays, however far-flung, southwestern food probably wasn't too hard to find there.
You could be stuck at the Boise airport in a snowstorm, and still grab a taco while you wait.
Just do not forget the side of salsa.
It was only in 1992, the 500th anniversary of the arrival of Columbus in the New World, that salsa outsold ketchup for the very first time.
Gregory McNamee knows a lot about the timeline of southwestern cuisine. His latest book is on its history, and it's called Tortillas, T-Swan, and T-Bones.
From mammoths eaten by the first people who lived out here thousands of years ago to sushi, yes, even the California roll gets a sit on the saddle of southwestern fare in McNamee's eyes. The show's Anika Klein digs in this conversation.
When people first came to the region, what did their dinner look like?
One of the early cave sites, one of the early settlement sites that was excavated in the southwest was a place called Ventana Cave out in the Tohono'odham Nation. And it was dug by a famed anthropologist named Emil Howery. And he discovered the bones of short-faced bears, otters, camels, badgers, all kinds of critters. As well as, wolves and coyotes and things like that, all in association with projectile points and spearheads and things like that. So he reasonably conjectured that people there were eating this giant barbecue that just wouldn't quit. And, of course, our earliest sites here are quite often associated with mastodon or mammoth kills, like on the San Pedro River in Arizona. The Laner site and down in Naco and places like that, all associated with people chasing down these giant elephants and eating them. That probably was the food way of this region until at some point climate change kicked in. The big game were hunted out and disappeared because of climate change, and people started eating a more plant-based diet. And it's been said that when the Europeans first arrived in this region, if you take the Southwest as a whole, people there were eating at least 2,500 different kinds of plants. And if you think about the plants that are in your refrigerator right now, probably not 2,500, right?
No, not quite.
maybe a head of lettuce and some corn and a tomato or something like that, but certainly not the breadth that people had. And a lot of that, that's not because people are inherent gourmets or because they're adventurous about food so much as they're hungry and they have to eat.
There's this timeline that where there's different lines that connect from what the first people were eating to what we see today if we look for certain restaurants, certain cuisines. How are you making these connections? And does it look very different today than it did originally?
We are rediscovering a lot of the roots that we had forgotten for a very long time. And by we, I mean Southwesterners who are used to the notion that there are many different cultures that make up what we consider to be the Southwest. So, for example, people are eating plant foods that had been forgotten for a very long time, tepary beans, using mesquite flour, things like that. There are many differences, though, in the past, and I would say that some of those are being explored in the region to the south of us in Mexico. People are eating insects, for example, and what is called corn smut or huitlacoche, not a very nice name, corn smut, but kind of a fungus that grows on corn that's been marketed in this country as corn truffles. And so that makes it sound, kind of exotic and sophisticated if you call it corn truffles instead of corn smut.
So let's talk about the future then of southwestern food. Are you seeing this continuing to develop? Is there something really new that has kind of interested you about, that's an interesting take on southwestern?
I would not put money on myself as a prognosticator, but if I were to guess and say perhaps 30 years from now, a generation and some change, we're probably going to be eating a lot more interesting kinds of proteins. And I think we're going to be eating a lot of insects.
Really?
In 30 years, yeah. Food companies are already doing a lot of research in insect protein. Grasshopper packs much more protein than beef. You have to grow a lot of it in order to get a grasshopper burger. So, but again, in Mexico City, gourmets are eating things like grasshopper and ants and various and sundry odd other kinds of insects, which are fairly readily available. A lot of the food that we eat is driven by necessity, as I said, and climate change will certainly affect the way that we eat. Everything old being new again will be returning to some of our sources, but with different international flavors, you know, with influx of, for example, people from Darfur in southern Sudan in some of the cities in the southwest. We'll be eating Darfurian food. And so it's one great big adventure, and I hope I'll be around for some of it.
Gregory McNamee is the author of Tortillas, T-Swin, and T-Bones, a food history of the Southwest. He spoke with the show's Annika Klein, and now we're going to dig in for some corn smut.
Truffles, Phil. Corn truffles.
Delicious.